Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You can always tell when Metal Chris is on the board. It's such a different kind of music than what we get with AMAC. Or
I got my style, my with, taste, you know?
I mean, you are uniquely you, man. You keep doing you.
I couldn't do it any other way, man. I don't even know how.
I mean, you should pass some of that along to Anthony Haney so that he could play it on the Hoffman Show.
Yeah, he's welcome to. All these songs are in the system.
I mean, but does he know any of these? I mean, is there any chance that Anthony Haney...
So I put the Hoffman Show's hotkeys together for their return music, and it's pretty much all hip-hop.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any chance that he knows Corrosion of Conformity?
I doubt he knows COC. You know COC? He says he does.
You know COC? Are you down with COC? Yeah, you know me.
Is it this one?
It is that one. Yes, I can hear
it. Is this one?
Yeah.
I have a very
You're on the radio.
Musical taste.
You have a very eclectic musical taste?
Yes. Or I guess I should say taste in music. It ranges. We can go Adele.
How far back does it range?
We can go
Who's the main guy in COC? You know that?
No. No.
Honestly, have you ever heard of Corrosion of Conformity?
Yes.
Really?
From North Carolina, Pepper Keenan. He's played with the Metallica Boys before. They used to be all over MTV and stuff. Not really famous now, but.
See, I can tell a BS artist when I just look at one.
I know. I knew
when I just look at one.
I knew when he didn't know who Pepper Keenan is.
Not only did he know who Pepper Keenan was, he didn't know who Salt Keenan is.
You seem very upset, Rooster.
Not upset. Tired, cranky. Been up since 5 in the morning. What were you doing at 5 in the morning, Haney?
I was
asleep. You were asleep. I was roostering.
I heard you.
I was preparing myself for the day to represent both radio stations, of which I'll make exactly zero extra dollars for. But because I'm a good teammate and because I'm a good employee, I went above and beyond, like Miss Ivy said I did, to represent Odyssey DC at one of the biggest events and announcements in history.
I love that for you, Chris. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you. I expect flowers tomorrow.
I got you.
Okay. Or maybe lunch. Maybe do something for me. Maybe do something nice for me. Nobody else cares about anything else that I do. Anyway, all right, we got to get back to the calls. I have so many news and notes. I just haven't been able to get to all of them because it's been so crazy. Matthew, hang on. Let's go to our guy, Alan LaPorre in Philadelphia. What's up, Mr. LaPorre? How are you?
Not much, Chris. How you doing?
Busy, 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 brother, as you know. There is no topic quite that, outside of the name game, that generates as much controversy as RFK Stadium.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God, why would we want to have something nice for the city? How dare we?
Well, you know, I don't know about you. I don't sense from a fan standpoint right now that there's a lot of opposition. But you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, right?
Oh, well, the Nibby folks are going to come out and complain. I got to be careful what I say because I don't remember the seven words that you're not allowed to say on air. But they're going to complain and they're going to be all, you know, probably rich kids who have trust funds, all these rich kids that haven't really had any consequences or working day in the lives.
Right.
Like, nah, we don't want this.
But the blue collar, I guess where I was heading with this.
Who lives there already, though. Like, it's not like that's just some big nappy area.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I guess where I was going with this was, The blue-collar fans are not going to oppose going back to RFK because they only look at it as a football stadium. They only look at it as what they grew up watching or hearing about or whatever. But the blue-collar fans, and when I say blue-collar fans, I mean everybody kind of knows what I'm talking about. People that actually have to live on a budget, okay, and have to go to work and, you know, strap on the old boots and, you know, whatever. They are going to want this stadium to be built. And then they are going to bitch about it and cry about it and whine about it and turn their back to it as soon as they realize that it's not just buying season tickets anymore. It's not just buying club seats anymore. It's about, oh, you have to buy personal seat licenses on top of all that stuff if you want to come every game. And that's going to be very, very, very problematic. Not to mention, my guess would be, with a limited amount of parking spaces in these garage and structures that they're building, which is at least a couple, I think it's 2 to 3 right now, it's going to probably be $100 a spot.
I would guess. 75, maybe 100. They'll probably give you a 25% discount if you get season tickets.
Maybe.
This is going to be great. Chris, you and I have always, you know, talked about this a lot. This is where it belongs. It was always going to be just a matter of, you know, Dan selling the team. And I'm taking joy in knowing that all this is happening while he's riding away on his yacht and in London, in absolute miserableness. Going back before, touch on a couple other things, what AA was saying, doing this now before it gets to the city council, I think it's smart because now it puts pressure on the city council to come up with, and even like citizens of the neighborhood and all the not my neighborhood folks, what do you have for me? What are you going to put there? What is going to drive more tax revenue? What is going to, you know, X, Y, and Z? Because, you know, it's a big sticker shock with the 500 million initially and up to like 1.1 billion, but that's all, you know, they were talking about a horizontal infrastructure, the water, the roads, that would have to get spent anyway by the city.
Like, right. And that's 200 million of the 1.1 billion that they're going to put out. And you bring up an excellent point, by the way, one that I didn't really necessarily think of. I keep talking about Phil Mendelson and the DC council opposition, so on and so forth. But if they disapprove this, what the hell are you? What are you going to build? Okay, you build affordable housing. Okay, they're building affordable housing one way or the other. They are.
You still have to do the studies. You still have to pay for the infrastructure for the roads and the sewer and the water.
And the construction.
And this is a little bit my world up here now. You know, the folks that I work with is, you know, people that build the things, they're going to be looking for tax credits. They're going to be looking for ways not to pay tax revenue for like 10 years. And the devil will be in the details. It could be possible, maybe like a percentage. They don't have to pay 10% of the full tax revenue. But all in all, it sounds like they're going to get all the tax revenue the city is. Whereas if you just do some shopping centers and some affordable housing, you won't get that. You won't get that full flesh. Even in addition to that, when you talk of transportation, you're talking, you know, this is going to be, could potentially be a windfall for Metro, which has had major, and we're dealing with up here with SEPTA, they're dealing with budget issues, but they seem to be in a better spot. You're talking, you know, people going to the games, using the not only stadium Armory line, but I was mapping this out a little bit because I'm, you know,
plotting, you know, 10 years from now, how I'm going to come down from Philly to watch these games. People driving down to the New Carrollton line, New Carrollton stop. You've got parking revenue there, and you can metro in. People can go stop off at Easter Market, which is like a 30-40 minute walk from the new stadium. People can grab brunch there. People can go into Union Station and walk over to the H Street corridor, have some brunch before taking the light rail over to the Benning Road and Oklahoma Avenue stop, and then which is drops you right off at the RFK campus. So look, I mean, this show me your work. Like, don't just be opposed to be opposing sake. Like, show me how you're going to improve the city without this. And this is Josh went through this exact same thing here in Philadelphia. And they were going to pay for the new stadium, Sixer Stadium, in Market Street, Chinatown adjacent. People were complaining and moaning about it. That was going to, you know, do all these horrible things. And city council ended up passing it because guess what? It was going to be fully funded by him and the 76ers. And you know what we're seeing right now? It's going to be fully funded by him and the Washington Commanders and his partners, except for the infrastructure that would need to get done anyway.
Right.
So I think people can be very short-sighted and not understand that in the emotion of it, understand that this would have to be money spent anyway. And you're going to end up seeing more of a tax revenue benefit from it. So, I mean, look, traffic already sucks. I do that drive. We've done that drive up and down 295 on Sundays. On a summer day, it's going to be like summer traffic, getting to and from the beach. And it's what, eight weeks out of the year, maybe 10. I think
it is more than 10 because you're talking about there's going to be lots of other events there, concerts and big other things. Right. But the point being is, listen, traffic is just a part of life when you live in a big city. When you live in Canton, Ohio, like my kids do, there's very little traffic. When you live in Washington, D.C., if you want stuff to do, if you want stuff within driving or commutable distance, guess what? There's gonna be traffic.
Yep.
Whether the stadium's in Landover, whether the stadium's in Alexandria, whether the stadium's in D.C., in downtown, in Ward 7, wherever, period. End of story. There's going to be traffic. You're going to have to plan. You're going to have to say, okay, I don't want to sit in that traffic, so I'm going to wait for 2 hours after the game, and hopefully it's a little bit less. That's it. That's what you're going to have to do. And if you don't want to do it, don't go. Don't go. It's just like if you don't want to buy the personal seat licenses, well, you have an option. You don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to. Nobody's hitting you over the head with a shovel to buy personal seat licenses. You don't have to.
Yeah,
if you don't want to.
And if the Danny Reyes and the Kevin Sheehan don't want to buy tickets because they don't like the name, that's more power to them.
Yeah.
One more thing before you kick me off, because I heard you saying before, shout out Molly Whalen and Best Buddies.
Yes.
They're awesome. They do great job.
Yes.
Great work. Everybody, check out what they're doing. It's a really important work.
And thank you, my friend, for the donation. I appreciate you as always and for hooking up everything with Best Buddies, which is going strong. Alan was a big part of that introduction. And yes, Molly and Mary are the best. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you as always.
Good
to hear
later.
From you. All right. Let's get to Matthew in D.C. next up. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. I want to just clarify something that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The district's finances are actually in very good shape. We had a AAA bond rating from Moody's. It got reduced one grade simply because the federal government has told people not to come to work, and they're starting to shut down their operations. The district's finances are very sharp. This mayor's done an exceptional job of keeping it that way. And the way she has sharpened her pencil on this, the same way she did with Ted Leonsis at Capital One Arena, she's investing in the infrastructure, she's investing in the city, and the owners of these organizations are investing in
Correct.
The actual facilities themselves.
Correct.
So the district is investing to some degree in both facilities because the district owns the land, and the land is owned by Events DC, just like with Nats Park. So this is a very sharp, very shrewd move. And going back to the point that you were making with the previous caller, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. You're doing a great job of debunking this stuff. There's only one thing I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop referring to it as Ward 7 because people from D.C. know this is not really Ward 7. This is a Ward 6 annex into Ward 7 because Ward 7 population has dropped and Ward 6 population has increased.
Well, okay, so I wasn't aware of that, but I was only referring to it as they referred to it this morning, meaning officials from her administration. So,
completely.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know you might hear that from some callers.
Okay, I got you.
I agree with you, but you might hear it. Okay.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Good information.
Bye-bye.
Yep, thank you. No, listen, I don't know ultimately about the finer points of her budget, but they went out of their way to explain everything. I'm still trying to digest it, still trying to learn. The $500 million comes out of apparently the capital budget, and it is... Let me see here. I think the capital budget is like $10 billion or something like that. The $181 million comes, which is for Events DC for parking, I believe comes out of the mayor's budget is how they explained it. And they are allowing Events DC, which is, I believe, owned by the city, I think, and the operating arm, if you will, to refinance a bunch of their debt. I was trying to write down as many notes as I could because I don't understand all this stuff. And then the $175 million that is also part of the $1.1 billion investment, that is by fiscal year 2032 generated, they say, by stadium activity to be reinvested primarily in parking. Then it also says they'll leverage dedicated funds from the existing sports facilities fee, which formerly was called the ballpark fee, which was involved in the acquisition of Nationals Park. The investment will require no cuts from the operating budget. Now, whether this is all true or not, I mean, ultimately has to be proven. And that's far beyond me. But as I said a week ago, when we first got some of the details, I thought this was a pretty low investment on the city's end. I really did. Now, it's a little higher than it was initially reported. It's about $1.1 billion by fiscal year 2032. And how you get there is a little bit more complex than the original like $800 million that it was reported. But the bottom line is, we knew that that was just an initial reporting. The bottom line is this. In order to make money, in order to create jobs, in order to spur growth, again, we always say this, need to invest. You can't have a restaurant open for dinner and business, lunch and dinner, without what? Without having ovens, without having stoves, without having pots and pans, without buying the food first. You can't have a restaurant open for business until you have that. Meaning you, as the owner, the operator, the proprietor, have to invest in your business in order to then make money. Same thing for Washington, D.C. Same thing for every city in America.
I mean, it's going to bring, I was just thinking too, all that sales tax. Everything you buy at the stadium now is all going to Maryland sales tax, and it's going to all go
exactly
D.C. sales tax. But so that alone.
This is what the economists don't understand. This is, I mean, honestly, I'm just saying, it's what the economists don't get, is that without these stadiums and without these entertainment destination locations, Chris, yes, you can build other things. You can build park space. Great. How much money would you guess that a park space costs you, brings in? How much money? How much revenue?
Probably not a ton.
Exactly.
Probably costs
how
a lot
much
of maintenance
money,
and things.
How much money for those that bitch about this type of thing, how much money do you think truly affordable housing? And they went over a complicated formula, one that is required by HUD and all that stuff. How much money do you think compared to a 65,000 seat football and entertainment venue, how much money do you think truly affordable housing brings in?
Well, doesn't
versus the cost of building.
Doesn't D.C. have like some law too that like if you're going to build developments here, you have to build a certain percent of low income housing as well. So you can't just buy build luxury apartments only.
Correct, and it's based on your, I guess, gross median income or whatever. That's what I was saying. That's the complicated part of it. But the point being is, if you just said we're going to build 100% affordable housing and a high rise condo on the site of RFK Stadium, how much money do you think that money, that housing will bring in? How much money will that housing bring in versus and compared to the amount that you have to invest to build it, on top of how many jobs will that long-term create? Not many. Not much is the answer. Because once you build the house, especially if it's affordable housing, and say it's 100% affordable housing, which it never would be, but say it's 50% affordable housing and 50% luxury housing, or whatever would qualify as luxury housing, sure, you're going to make some money. You're going to make some money back. You ain't making as much as a 65,000-seat football entertainment venue, not to mention a complete entertainment district surrounding it.
I mean, I'd worry, too, those low-income housing people buy that up to just rent it out for Airbnb when there's events. And then
that's another part.
Yeah.
That's another part. See, people, again, don't understand how things work. Everybody wants what they think is the perfect pretty little picture. They're not willing to, A, pay for it, or they're, B, not willing to understand that it takes investment to fuel a return, an ROI, return on your investment. It takes investment to fuel that. And people don't quite get that. And that's why we're here to try and educate, to try and inform, to try and opinionize on what's going on. Do the best we can with the information we have and using common sense. Again, I don't know everything, but I know a good amount of things. And I am big time in favor of doing this. That being said, there are problems. There are issues. I'll give you the issue that I started the show with. We'll wrap up the conversation next for today, and then we'll spend a little bit of time on the Caps and the Nats before the end of the show. Coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, guys, we're heading down the home stretch. About 23 minutes or so to go in the radio program. Don't worry, we'll have plenty more tomorrow at 1 o'clock, including on the NFL draft and Shedeur Sanders and everything. Spread it out a little bit, being that nobody did us a favor by spreading out these huge news items. While we were doing the show, Phil Mendelson was on 106.7 The Fan, and I've mentioned him several times as the main opponent and what have you. And I guess he was asked directly about putting up approximately $1 billion in the Commander Stadium agreement. And in part, he said, quote, "I don't think there is support in the council for that," end quote. Now, apparently he is in favor of the stadium concept. It is the budgetary standpoint and how to get there. And presumably he wants more private investment. I don't know if more private investment is coming, guys, from the Commanders. $2.7 billion plus. Yes, they're going to reap rewards from it, plus whatever investment goes into the surrounding entertainment district, which is going to be somewhat significant. I don't think that they're coming up with another $1 billion.
They're not giving that much more than they gave Leonsis. What I was trying to remember was, do you remember how much Youngkin had promised Leonsis when they were talking about Alexandria? Like, what percentage? Because I bet it wasn't 24%.
I don't. I would have to look back at that whole thing.
I know.
Thing.
I was trying to find that.
I know
number
DC,
on that.
When they made the deal for them to stay in D.C., the public money, the public investment came out to approximately $515 million spread out over 3 years.
Yep.
For the renovations for Capital One Arena.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that. I don't remember in Virginia exactly
what
they've
already started if you go there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they have, because I can't park there. Yeah, no doubt. Let me finish up this today's portion of the show like this. I told you at the beginning of the show, I was very worried, very concerned, once the stadium is built, if the stadium is built, about personal seat licenses, which we got confirmed today that there will indeed be personal seat licenses. What is a personal seat license? Nobody around here really knows because there's never been personal seat licenses. Do you realize that? Not the Caps, not the Wizards, not the Nationals, not the Commanders, not even the Redskins under Dopey Dan and Brucey Bruce. Nobody's had personal seat licenses. So this is a completely foreign concept, which I probably have done a bad job in not explaining further, just because, I mean, I explained it earlier, but maybe I didn't explain it in enough detail, because there isn't a whole lot of detail other than to say it's a paid license that entitles the holder of said license the right to buy season tickets for a certain seat in a stadium. Meaning, all season tickets, all season seats, season ticket seats, if you will, that are earmarked for sale. Instead of them being able to randomly assign you a seat or move or what have you, instead of you having to search for a seat, basically what you do is you buy the PSL. You pick the seat you want or the seats that you want. According to Wikipedia, the holder can sell the seat license to someone else if they no longer wish to purchase season tickets. However, if the seat license holder chooses not to sell the seat licenses and does not renew the season tickets, the holder forfeits the license back to the team. Most seat licenses are valid for as long as the team plays in the current venue. Again, it's corresponding to a specific seat. The venue operator can charge different prices for each individual seat, meaning you could essentially pick out two seats in section 101, for argument's sake, and presumably in row A, and presumably in row B, 101, seats 1 and 2, one row behind. It could cost $2,000 for the personal seat license for the front row and $1,500 for the second row.
I'm assuming they'll probably have bulk packages as well if you're buying four or more.
But here's the bigger problem and what people don't quite understand about this. Unless the team ties this to a club membership, which is what they've been selling now, which is not a PSL, like the Burgundy and Gold Club or whatever they call it. Unless the team ties it to that, you get nothing. Nothing. Nothing for the PSL. It is literally just extra money to help them pay for the stadium. You get nothing. No tickets, no parking, no experiences. Now, if they were smart, and I, dear God, I hope they are, they would tie it to what they're already doing. Again, Burgundy Club, Gold Club, whatever, where you guys know that are a part of that.
It sounds kind of
you
like,
get perks and incentives, right?
It sounds kind of like when you buy a parking space for your apartment and you have to buy like that space for your apartment. You know what I'm talking about? Not everywhere does that, but like some places.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're already paying rent and whatever else. And then, like, but you got to buy a specific parking spot.
Yes.
And some dude may own it and not necessarily the guy that lived in your apartment before you. And, like,
I would say this, the way that I know to get around PSLs in this case is you don't buy season tickets. Now, there is a challenge to that, right? If the team is really, really, really popular. Or if the stadium is, like other stadiums, a very popular destination, even if the team isn't great in the early years, really the only way you could probably guarantee that you're going to get into the stadium more than one random game here and there is to buy season tickets. And if they're going to link every single season ticket purchase to a PSL, and if they're not going to link the PSL price and component to what they've been selling, which is the Burgundy Club and the Gold Club and all that, where you get all those perks and incentives, if they're not going to link that, then you are going to pay literally $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, $5,000, whatever the cost might be. And obviously, the better the seat, I'm sure the more the money. You're going to literally pay that and get zippity-doo-dah-a for nothing.
Now, does it only apply to sporting events, or do you get that seat guaranteed, like, say, when Metallica and AC/DC come? And, like, would you still, like, is it like a box? Like, if your company owns a box at the arena, any event, monster trucks, whatever, you get to have that box. You know, is it going to be like that, where you have your seats? Or
It's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. It's a great question, though. Based on my research, okay, so it took me a little time to kind of go through this. There, every stadium and every team has different, what do you call it? Different, mechanisms. Like, for instance, okay?
Their own ways of gouging the customer
well,
base.
Well, yes, but but like for instance, in Toronto, okay, at Scotiabank Arena, the Toronto Raptors have a PSL program. It's only used for, like, the best seats, so presumably, like, closest to the court and whatever. But it also provides rights for Maple Leaf tickets. So if the Commanders are going to sell PSLs, I presume, don't know, presume that it would only be for Commanders games, but it would, because it's not an actual ticket purchase, it would provide you the right, first come, first serve, like a lot of teams do for playoff tickets, first come, first serve to purchase tickets for every other premium event because that's your seat. You essentially own that seat. But
sure,
if
but you might
then
want better
if you
seat.
Well,
yeah.
But if you then decline to purchase, I guess, then they can probably sell those seats, I would imagine.
Because, like, so, like, for example, Metallica coming, they will be playing on the field. They're playing in the round, which means you can 360 stage. You can stand on any side of the stage and watch them. But they will be selling tickets, you know, it's presumably general admission, so non-seated, but on the field itself. And you can't have that already. You can't have reserved an on-the-field itself ticket for football games because that doesn't exist.
Correct. You know? Correct. Well, I mean, listen, we're going deep into the woods here. But
I want to know if I can get reserved Metallica tickets, man.
I hear you. But I would say this, okay? Again, most NFL teams have this because of the limited amount of dates. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at a list of pretty much – maybe not every NFL team because the Commanders certainly don't right now, but most of them have PSLs or SSLs, as they call them, stadium seat licenses, which, you know, is essentially the same thing. Some have something called a COA, a charter ownership agreement. It's all the same essential thing. And let me tell you, it's going to be problematic for a lot of people. A lot of people are, this is going to be the bane of existence when it comes to the new stadium. People are going to say, wait a second, it's one thing to buy the tickets, it's another thing to pay for the parking, it's another thing to, you know, not be able to tailgate, it's another thing to pay $22 for a 16-ounce can of beer, it's another thing, wait, to buy season tickets, I need to spend a couple of $1,000s for the season ticket. And then I need to spend another $1,000, another $1,200, another $1,500, another $2,000 to buy a seat.
Don't forget the Ticketmaster fees.
I mean, yes, all of
that. All of that. Yeah.
Now, my understanding is it's a one-time fee, right?
Like, you pay it once in your life or once a year?
I believe it's a once in your life until you decide to not renew your season tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can transfer the license to somebody else. But as soon as you don't renew your season tickets, the license goes back to the team.
Yeah, they sell it to someone
else. Meaning you can't buy
the... like the parking lot in your apartment. It's like the parking spot in your apartment.
Meaning you can't pay $2,000 in 2030 for the personal seat license, buy season tickets, and then in 2034, not buy season tickets and still hold on to the PSL.
It's a way to keep people locked into buying season tickets when, say, Jaden Daniels might be injured for a season or something.
I mean, again, people are going to have a huge problem with this. I'm telling you, you might think I'm negative. I'm telling you, people are going to have a huge problem. All right, let me spend a couple of minutes real quickly on the Capitals. They won last night in Montreal, pulling away in the third period. We all know a couple of big things happened. The Ovechkin big freight train hit led to a Montreal goal right after on the power play. That was a fine call. I know because some Capitals fans were upset. The Tom Wilson hit, which led to Brandon Nuheim's first goal with Connor McMichael. Again, that was a brutally hard hit, but it was legal and it was clean. And so far, the NHL hasn't announced any kind of hearing. He was not penalized. That doesn't mean they can't have a hearing, but that's the deal. And then on top of that, getting Logan Thompson back, even though he allowed a questionable short-sided goal, was huge. And then two empty netters. And also, Andrew Mangiapane on the drop-back pass just inside the blue line to give them the lead. All of those things, weathering the storm at the beginning of the game, all of those things led to a Game 4 win. Great job by the Capitals, finally getting back to it in the third period. Remember, Games 1, 2, and 3 had been controlled in the third period by the Montreal Canadiens. Game 4, just the opposite. And if they can do that one more time, and it doesn't even need to be Game 5, but if they can do that one more time, they're on to the second round. One more time.
They've been up 3-1 against the Canadiens in the first round before, though.
They have been up 3-1 against the Canadiens in the first round in an 8-1 matchup. Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
But let's hope that doesn't happen this time. I got a better feeling this year.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. A quick word on the Nationals. We've mentioned them a couple of times. They deserve more time, but, I mean, listen, guys, I don't make this stuff up. Again, we will give them more time tomorrow when we have more time to give. The Nationals are 13-15. They are getting ready to close out their four-game weekend wraparound set with the Mets. If they win, obviously, they're a game under 500. The Nationals are 6-4 in their last 10. They had two walk-off wins Friday night, Sunday night. They got shut out Saturday afternoon. Gonna happen. The Nationals were down 5-0 in the top of the first with their best pitcher this year, Mitchell Parker, having walked four guys. Luis Garcia collided with the right fielder, Alex Call, I think it was, or maybe it was Dylan Cruz, I can't remember. I think it was Alex Call. That opened up some other opportunities. The Nationals never gave up. They just kept clawing and scratching, coming back. Big seventh inning, walk-off in the ninth. No Edwin Diaz for the Mets. Fielding error, overthrow. And C.J. Abrams hustling his ass off. And the Nationals win. All you can say about Davey is he's always had that clubhouse. And they never give up. They never give up. We're 15 minutes away from first pitch. Mets, Nats over at the ballpark to see if the Nats can win three out of four and improve to one game under 500 at 14-15. All right, back in a flash to wrap it up. Dumb Dumb of the Day before we say goodbye on the Team 980.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Part of the fun of this job is just seeing your reaction.
I mean, I love it. You keep me guessing. I forgot about this one. Hey, Stupid by Alice Cooper is a good way to end the show and cue up. The machine did not like my tease or my buildup. All right. As everybody knows, the story of the NFL draft weekend was the just amazing fall of Shedeur Sanders. Everybody felt so bad for him. Maybe we should have felt bad for Deion. Daddy Deion represented his sons as their agent Well, Shiloh Sanders, his other son, the less famous one, went undrafted after most thought he would be a fifth-round pick. He signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an undrafted free agent. And then on Twitch Saturday night said, quote, "Dad was our agent." Quote, "But that hasn't been working out too good. So today I had to sign with an agent." End quote. They fired their dad. Their dad, who is a head football coach at Colorado, was trying to be the agent for his two sons. And everyone wants to cry tears of sadness for the Sanders family. They fired their dad. All of them. All of them need to look in the mirror and figure out that they don't own life. Life and reality essentially owns them. And for that, we have to spank you around just a wee little bit. Just a wee little bit. All right, that does it for Dum Dum of the Day here on a Monday. We're going to get on out of here. Craig Hoffman is next. I'll see you back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks to Metal Chris. Thanks to you for calling. Tomorrow, a lot more on the Commanders draft, Capitals playoff run, the Mets and the Nats, and more. The new stadium project as well. And hopefully some other insight along the way. Until tomorrow at 1, we'll see you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.